Hi, my name is Joy and I'm from England. This episode is brought to you by MPW. Are you sick of relying on other, often unreliable producers or musicians to create your music? And would you love to be able to produce your own music but are not sure where to start? If so, claim your free chat with the team at MPW to understand how they can help you get started and to take control of your music. Use the link in the show notes to book in a chat. Let MPW help you take your first step in your music production journey.
What am I saying?
This is MPW.
MPW.
The podcast
with your host,
Silo Aria.
Cool.
A podcast about music production
for the everyday musician,
where we learn from experienced studio engineers and each other.
Jacob Morris, aka Biz, is a multi-platinum and Grammy Award-winning mixing engineer. For the last decade, Biz has represented Atlanta hip-hop label Reach Records as a vice president and head of studio. He is now the co-founder of Get Mixed, a cutting-edge company aimed at providing top-tier mixing and mastering services for independent artists at an affordable price. So welcome, Jacob. It is so lovely to have you with us today on this podcast. And how has your day been so far?
My day's been good. You know, it's the end of the year, so just trying to finish a bunch of stuff before the year wraps up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I know that feeling. And it'd be good to get a break as well. Yeah. So before we get into our topic today on spatial audio, I would love to learn a little bit more about you. So where did your career start for you? And obviously you've been involved in so many different incredible projects and had an amazing career so far. So how did you get to where you are in a kind of short nutshell?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started off recording out of a spare bedroom at my mom's house. She let me put a little studio together in her house, and I had friends and other artists around the city come record and pay to record. And then that turned into getting invited to be engineers at different studios. So I got started off pretty young, 14. I was really lucky to have people around me who were successful that just allowed my career to go. And that was all through middle school and high school. And when I got out of high school, I went to audio school, audio engineering in Phoenix. And yeah, so I didn't think I was going to do music. I thought I was going to do movies and a lot of audio stuff for movies, but that didn't happen. I still am doing music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now that's great, and it is funny how things don't exactly go in the path that you might originally have planned, but works out, you know, in some way. Anyway.
Yeah.
So also coming to a little bit of time travel, can you tell me, is there one event in your life that if you could, you would change?
Oh, that's so hard. I'm a believer in school and I'm a believer in education, but I think that I might have not went to school. I thought I was going to do something else and I needed school to help with that. And I just came back and continued doing what I was doing in Texas, which was engineering for people. And do I think school helped out? I do, but I think the connections helped out more. So I probably would have doubled down on people and connections instead of having to pay for that school.
You know, it's surprising. I feel like a few people say that about schooling in like the music kind of space, but then also do mention that the thing that they got most out of it was the network. And sometimes maybe it would be difficult to build that or take longer to build that outside of the school. So maybe that's a big plus point.
Yeah, I think if you're good with people and you are really good at making connections, then maybe it's not, maybe don't go to school and don't rely on that to build the connections. But if you need help building connections, and you're not good with people, I think school is a great tool to have.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. So can you tell me a random fact about yourself that maybe not that many people in the industry know about you?
Oh, I love to barbecue. I like to barbecue and grill and smoke meats.
Okay. Very good.
I would do that. I would do that every day if I could.
Oh, would you? Okay. Yeah. Lovely. As someone who has been a vegetarian for all my life, it's probably a very different hobby to what I would be doing.
Yes.
But, you know, if you enjoy it, that's great.
Yes. Yes.
No, very good. Very good. So coming to our topic today on spatial audio, can we start by defining what it is, ideally in one sentence, if you can?
Yeah, spatial audio is like a 3D sound that makes you feel like the sound is coming from all around you.
Okay. Well, that's a very good, easy definition.
Is that good?
Great job.
Good, good. That's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, no, it is. People usually get stuck with that one. But no, that's a great start. So what makes spatial audio unique and what elements of the mix enhance that listening experience?
Yeah, the spatial audio, there's two different ways to hear it. There's on headphones, which gives you a render of the spatial audio. And then there's a room. So right now I'm in a room with 13 speakers. So it just depends on where you're listening. So you may have a room that could play spatial audio and you may just be on headphones. So I think you're going to get a different experience based off where you're listening. But I think overall where I can sum it up would be spatial audio just feels more open. It feels more, they're not playing the loudness game and everything has to be squished in. I think you just have more space to make stuff feel a little bit free. And that's whether you're listening in headphones or you're listening in a room.
Okay. So the thing that confuses me there, Jacob, is like with the headphones, obviously you have two channels. So how does the spatialness come across with those two channels?
Yeah, it depends on how crazy the mix is. And a lot of people think that they can just do this around your head, make it spin around your head. And that's just not true. The best thing I can say is they can give you the feeling like it's coming there, but it just feels... Yeah, just I would say it's more open, more dynamic. So the loudness of the song can be loud and the quiet rather than just a limited two-channel mix.
Okay. So then if we talk about the process of the mix, so how does the mixing and the mastering process differ from the traditional stereo audio mix?
Yes, it's a good question. So... what we do and where the process is for us is after we get done mixing the stereo version, we have all the mixed stems and we bring those back into Pro Tools and we remix the song into spatial. So if there's 40 stems for the song, then we have 40 different objects that we can place around the room at that time. Yeah.
Okay. So it kind of starts with a traditional mix and then goes to the next step, is it?
Yeah, we're seeing people create just for spatial. So when they're producing, they are doing it in a room where you have 13 speakers and you're creating the song for this environment. And then from that, they can create their stereo mix. But typically, what's happening is the stereo mix is done, then they remix it for spatial.
Right. Okay. So if you are mixing for spatial audio, then what kind of gear do you need that is special in doing this compared to traditional mixing?
That's good. Yeah, you got to have more than two speakers. So you have to have, I have 13 speakers in my room. So you have to have the proper setup. The room needs to be tuned for it. So a lot of people think I can just put speakers up and just hear sound. Well, that's not true because you're dealing with a lot of phase and a lot of audio issues. And so, yeah, you have to have an interface that can help you tune your room and you got to have the speakers.
Right. Okay. So there's an interface specifically for spatial audio, is it?
No, just your interface has to be able to handle all the outputs for your speakers.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So a kind of big multi-out interface is required.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay. So what tips do you have for producers who are starting out in the spatial audio field?
Now, is this for people who are creating for spatial or just producers who know that their songs are going to be mixed in stereo and spatial?
So maybe let's do people who are producing for something that they know is going to be mixed in Spatial, but then also look at the mixing engineers side who are learning to mix for Spatial.
Yeah, so I would say separate as much as you can. So a lot of times producers will create the sound, like the sound that takes up, let's say, one big synth sound, but inside is like multiple layers of different synths. Figure out a way to give those individual synths to the mixing engineer, because what that does for me is it lets me just create an Atmos version of the stereo song and just make it sound better. I have more objects I can place and I can make it feel more full and let the song build and let the listener be emotionally attached to the song.
Okay. So from a producer's perspective, preparing for a Spatial mix, you're saying trying to separate as many stems as possible to the engineer.
Give the engineer as much control. And as long as you trust the engineer, because a lot of the very first mixes done in Spatial, you know, in 2021, they were all bad because the mix engineer just didn't know what they were doing. So now that the tech is catching up and a lot of people are knowing what they're doing. So if you trust that mix engineer is not going to just take that song and take it to a different place, give them as much control as they want.
Okay. So then, talking from the perspective of the mixing engineer, what then would you recommend for them who's starting out in this space and trying to build their skill in Spatial?
Yeah, it's tricky because a lot of people think, well, I can just use headphones to mix Spatial because the software allows me to preview this on headphones, but it's tricky. It's not that easy because you're not hearing it in a proper room with you're not being able to hear the phasiness that's really happening that you would in a room. So what I would say is, if you're really going to dive into Spatial, do it right and get a proper room with proper speakers and have it properly tuned for Spatial audio, which is not what everyone wants to hear, because you can ideally just mix it on headphones and put it on Apple, but the longevity of it, it's not going to be, it won't hold the test of time.
Okay.
Sonically.
So aside from going out and spending thousands to get a fully treated room, what about the actual skills that you need to, to develop this skill? Is it something additional to the stereo mix that you need to build in yourself? And how would you go about that?
Yeah, additional skills or what skills needed? I think if you have the ear for mixing, then I think you have the skill right there to go into Spatial audio. Now, yeah, it just takes you to learn the room just like you would a regular stereo room and learn what it's going to do whenever you are uploading it to DSPs. But yeah, if you are already a mix engineer, then you have the skill to mix in Atmos. You just may take a little learning curve of there's way more options and way more places to put stuff. And the artist, once the artist that you're mixing for can know that they can have a sound go around the whole entire room, they will lose their mind, and that's all they're going to want to do. So you have to know how, you're going to have to know what you, you have to learn what you can and cannot do. You can't do that.
Yeah. Okay. So in stereo mixing, just so we can get a bit of a picture on this ourselves, I guess you would want to have the main elements or the trunk of the tree pretty much mostly down the center, and then you have like the sides to play with on the rest of the elements. So is that sort of transferred to Atmos, where the center of the room is the most important things and then you can just place things anywhere else?
That's correct. Yeah, I keep everything up front and I place things in certain positions as I feel that they're needed. I don't mix in Atmos to make it a different song and a different feel. I take what the mix engineer did with the producer and the artist. I just take it and I mix it into a different format that just allows the song to just have a different. It's just a different format. I'm not trying to recreate the wheel and make the listener like this version better. Now, I see that a lot. I've been remixing stuff other engineers did, and I'm finding because they're mixing in headphones, when I pull it up in my room, there's a vocal coming out the back speaker, and It's because they're mixing our headphones. They don't know really where it's placed. They're just guessing, or they're thinking, oh, this the listener is going to love this. But then when they get home and they listen on their Sonos, it's just wacky. It's bad.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. No, I can understand the feeling of having like a bunch of shiny new tools and then just going crazy with it and then without actually helping the track.
Yeah, you're not trying to recreate a moment. You're just trying to, just give the listener and give the producer and the artist just a different version of that.
And are there any rules of thumb or something that you would recommend in Atmos? Like, for example, maybe in stereo, you wouldn't want to have your bass right out in the wide, speakers. But I guess you can do whatever you want. But is there anything that you think is a good thing to potentially avoid?
Yeah, I think, it's the wild, wild west, I think. Everyone's still trying to figure it out. It is a new format, so they're trying to learn how they could just be different than the next person. So that's tough. But I will say, Dolby has specs that we have to stay within, which a lot, and this is why I like Atmos the most, is I'm not playing the loudness game with records. If you go listen to a lot of records, they're just playing I'm going to put the limiter on and make it as loud as I possibly can, so I'm louder than the person before. And that's just not the way that this Atmos is working. You have to stay negative 18 lufs. So it's you have a lot of dynamic range. And I really like that for that reason. So yes, as long as you're following Dolby specs and the quality control from the labels, everyone has different quality controls. So there's no like standard yet. I feel like things change pretty often.
Okay. And if you are starting out in this space and wanting to learn a bit about it, and you want to make sure that you are across these regulations, if we want to call them that, where is the best place that you think is to kind of keep up to date on what's required?
Yeah, Dolby's music side has their website. I don't know what it is actually, but Dolby has all that information. And they release updates with our software, and they have all that. And when you're working distribution, so whoever you're working with distribution should have this. If you're working with a record label for it, they should know what the regulations are and what needs to happen.
Okay. And also, is there any special software that you need for mixing in spatial audio?
Yeah, so some of the DAWs, the software, mixing software, already have this built in, and some don't. But it's the Dolby Renderer, so that will work with your DAW if it doesn't already have one built in. So I mix in Pro Tools, and I mix in Logic sometimes, but I mix in Pro Tools, and we have the Dolby Renderer running alongside.
Right. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And what would you say are the key benefits of mixing in spatial audio?
I think the key benefits is you have more space to get a mix. You have more space for things to be, objects to be. You're not playing the loudness game. I think it's here to stay. I think they're pushing pretty heavy on this, and I think if you're mixing in spatial and you're allowing your song to be mixed in spatial, you're just ahead of the time. So you are going to be added to the playlist and all of this thing. So I think a lot of the new artists should want all the DSP support as they possibly can.
Yeah. No, fair enough. On that though, Jacob, I think the thing that I'm a bit confused about is that most people are not even listening to their music on headphones. They're listening out of some like mono speaker that they have, let alone a 13 speaker room.
Yeah,
so like,
sure.
In what capacity are listeners going to really be able to get that full experience? Is it like 1% of the listening experience is actually going to have that impact?
I think right now, for sure, the 1%, I would agree with that. You see car manufacturers are going to be working on doing Atmos in cars. I think we know that when tech, the longer the tech is here, the cheaper it becomes for the consumer. So like right now I have a Sonos soundbar in my house with two speakers in the back, And if I'm listening at my house and I have Apple Music going, I'm getting Spatial, and it's a different feel that I'm getting than the stereo track. So I think the more time that Atmos is here and that hardware is allowing for Dolby to be played, I think people are going to be able to hear it more.
Yeah. Okay. So do you feel like this will take over from stereo mixing eventually?
It's so hard to know. It's so hard to know. It's so hard to know. I hope so, because I mix it, but I don't know. They're pushing really hard for it. I think that's the elephant in the room, right? I think people enjoy it when it's done right. I think people hate it when it's done wrong. So the more, right now it's really hard to control who can do it and who can't. And that's just where we are with music. But I think the better the tools become, make the mixes as good as they can get. Yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell.
I personally enjoy it. Like, so if I have it at my house.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it is an interesting one. I've kind of had the full experience once when I went to like a gear conference, and it was very cool. And it was interesting. I feel like it took my brain a little while to kind of digest what was going on, because there was so much going on. But I was thinking, how would that translate to a home, and how long will it take for that to happen? So, but like you said, with any changes in technology, like, things do catch up quite quickly in many circumstances.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. A lot of sound bars have different, they have all the speakers in them, and they're pointed different directions. So
yeah.
Do I think it's going to be a immersive, I feel it around my head, or I feel it all around me because I have one sound bar? I don't. Do I think it's gives me a different feeling than the stereo version because it's just more dynamic? Yes, I do. I think it's here for that. I think that will be here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So from an artist's perspective, they need to obviously have that stereo mix because you need that at the moment, and then potentially have this spatial mix as well, like you said, to kind of get that different listening experience and also please the DSP. So is that always going to be an added cost for them on top at the moment, I guess?
Yeah, at the moment, it's a completely different mix. It's becoming especially for all the major labels, it's becoming another deliverable. So if we're doing a stereo mix and Atmos mix is required, I think that's going to be here to stay.
Yeah. Okay. So then tell me a bit about MXD, which is your platform that's offering this to artists, and how did that come about?
Yeah. GitMix. Yeah, I started it a couple years ago, and the goal was to just provide the independent artists with affordable rates, but keep the quality up. I had a lot of success with labels and with mixing for labels, and I had a quality standard. But what I noticed was independent artists couldn't afford that standard, and so they were just, doing whatever they could. But what that does is, they don't get to have the same quality as a label. And so I wanted to create a platform that could. Or I wanted to create a company that could help the independent artist have affordable mixes. And so I sought off to do that. And
yeah. That's great. So how long have you been running GitMix now?
Like 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got in like straight away.
Yeah. And we don't just do Atmos. It's all stereo too, and stereo mixing and mastering, and Atmos is available as well.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
No, it's great to know, and we can add a link to that at the end of the episode as well. And for anyone that's not really thought about this, they can have a look into it as well. So that then brings us to our speed quiz.
Oh, no.
Are you ready for that?
No. This is so... All right. This is, let's do this. Let's try it.
All right. All right. I think you will be just fine. So it's five quick fire, this or that question, and the first one that pops into your mind. So first one, would you rather give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life or give up the internet for the rest of your life?
Internet.
Ooh, okay. Would you rather be 11 feet tall or 9 inches tall?
11 feet.
Okay. Would you rather be out of tune or half a beat behind?
Out of tune.
Okay. Would you rather watch nothing but Christmas movies or nothing but horror movies?
Christmas. No. Yeah, I want Christmas. I like Christmas. Christmas, not horror.
Okay.
That's nightmares.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Would you rather listen to your least favorite genre for a day nonstop or never listen to your favorite genre for a year?
Oh, least favorite genre for one day.
Okay. That was pretty speedy, I would say. That was a great job.
I was nervous.
Yeah, nice. No, it was good.
I was nervous.
It was good. You were on it. Oh, no, that's good stuff. So coming to our top tips then, can you tell me what is your one top career tip?
My one top, build relationships with no goal of what you can get out of it. Just build relationships because you enjoy relationships, if that makes sense. People are going to be able to tell what you're trying to get out of, if you're trying to get something out of them. And that just never works long term. You may get something short term, but the long term is just care about people.
I love that, actually. That's such a good tip there. And yeah, it's that, I think, agenda-less friendship that you build with someone will last so much longer and serve everyone in the long run.
Yeah.
So really, really good tip there. And can you tell me what is your one top self-care tip?
Take time off. I'm learning that right now.
I was going to say, are you doing that?
I just did it. I mean, we just had a holiday break and I took 4 days and I just felt completely new. And it was really, I mean, I have 3 kids and a wife and yeah, take time off.
Yeah. You know, again, a really good one and something that I think I need to learn to do more of as well. So it's a good reminder.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's hard to do it, but it's good.
Yeah, I think it is so hard to do, especially in the music industry, especially when you are running things yourself and you have to, you know, keep yourself going and motivated and no one else is going to do that work for you if you stop. But sometimes we need that stop to actually keep going and stay productive.
Yeah.
So, no, I love that. And what is your one top general life tip?
This is another hard one that I try to put into practice. It can wait until tomorrow.
It'll be okay. That's a really
this just happened last night. This happened last night. I was working on a song and I was getting a call from the A&R like, and the producer, can we do this recall? And I did some and then they said, all right, we have one more. I said, it can wait till tomorrow. And they said, well, mastering is tomorrow. I said, I'll be in the studio at 8 a.m. and I'll recall it first thing.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Oh, good on you.
The song still went to mastering today and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's so hard. That's so hard. And I think it's great that you've set those boundaries for yourself and you're like, well, you know, I guess sometimes you have to change things around and be flexible. And
I'm not perfect.
Fine.
I'm not perfect at it at all. Ask my wife. I am not perfect at it.
But no, it's really, really good thing to be aware of and to not push ourselves to a point where, you know, it's not healthy for us. So it can wait till tomorrow. I love that. I'll keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. And I've learned a lot about spatial audio, which is quite a new topic for me as well. So I really, really appreciate the time and you sharing your knowledge. And I'm sure our audience will get a lot from it as well.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, Spatial Audio, I'm a fan. Do I think it's gonna do I think it's gonna change in 6 months? Maybe.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. We can be at the forefront of what's going on. So yeah, no, I love that. All right. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me.
My biggest three takeaways from the episode with Jacob was that firstly, to be able to create a spatial audio mix, you need to make sure that you have the right speaker setup and also an extremely well-treated room so that you don't have phasing issues. My second biggest takeaway was that you will need an add-on plugin to your DAW, such as Dolby Renderer, to be able to do that spatial mix. And my last takeaway was that as a producer, if you want to get your session prepared for a spatial mix, then you need to make sure that you send your engineer each and every stem separated as much as possible to give them the flexibility they need. That's it from us this week. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.